The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. So whenever we have this gospel, somebody always comes up to me after Mass and says, "Why was I never told that Jesus had brothers and sisters?" And I'd say, well, the doctrine of the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin Mary is something that the Church teaches and believes in. And at the time in the ancient Near East, people would refer to cousins as brothers and sisters as well. So Jesus might have had aunts and uncles, we don't know. But the fact is that he did not have brothers and sisters. It just says so in the gospel today, and that's why it's confusing. But as we look at the gospel today, I'd like you to imagine yourself in the story. So this is a method of meditation where you can kind of insert yourself. Imagine yourself being in the story. Imagine what Jesus is feeling. Imagine what the family and the people of Nazareth are feeling. Because Jesus is coming right back now after he's been baptized and he spent 40 days in the desert. So first of all, I want you to imagine yourself as one of the people in the town. So you're in the synagogue. This is where Jesus would have been as a child. But now as a man, he gets up and he reads scripture, and he says things like, "Today this passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Kind of a shocking thing to say, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and God has called me to do all these things. So he's familiar to you, and so you're astonished. There's a kind of a conflict inside that you're experiencing. You're recognizing a kind of wisdom that you have not seen before, a sound of authority that you've not experienced. He speaks with an authority that is completely new and unexpected. And we want to listen, and we want to hear more. But we know who he is. Isn't he just that carpenter? We know his family. We know where he lives. Where did all these wonders come from? The reading from the Gospel of Mark today says that we take offense with him. There's a little more description in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus basically says, "Don't expect anything from me. Just look at Elijah the prophet. He couldn't work any wonders for his own people. He only had those miracles for Naaman the Syrian and the widow of Zarephath, both foreigners and in different places." So do I know better than what I'm experiencing here? Is that what makes me reject this new recognition of who Jesus is? Does that mean I'm special? Am I entitled to the mighty signs and wonders that Jesus has done in other places? Am I angry about this? Mad enough, as it says in the Gospel of Luke, that I could rise up with the others in the town intending to throw Jesus over a cliff. That's pretty angry. Now imagine yourself as Jesus in this story. Going home is complicated. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. Going home was always complicated for me. It was almost like moments had frozen, but everything else has moved on. I remember going to the grocery store when my mom was in her later years. We were trying to teach her how to cook, healthy food, so we go to the grocery store and buy all this stuff, and then she'd just throw it out. But I remember going to the grocery store, and I'm looking around, seeing if I might recognize somebody that I know there. But in my mind, I suddenly realize I'm thinking about them as 18-year-olds. We're all going to be 60, you know what I mean? And how do I know what they even look like? So home is complicated. Now, Jesus hadn't been gone that long, right? He'd only been gone for a while. But I wonder if he had the same kind of experience, going back and everyone still treating you like nothing has happened since you were last there. You go home and you're automatically 18 years old again. Well, you've just spent 40 days in the desert. You've been tempted by the devil. You've been baptized by John the Baptist and acclaimed by everyone who's come out to the Jordan River from all over Judea and the surrounding regions. You come home to find out that you are not honored in your native place, with your own kin, even in your own house. They have a familiarity that maybe they don't deserve to feel, but you are unable to perform any mighty deeds except for a few healings. Why? Because they don't believe. Imagine you are the Son of God and suddenly unable to accomplish what the Father sent you to do. Imagine your frustration and the feeling of their rejection. It is a situation throughout all time in the relationship of God with his people. We say, show us what we want to see. And of all, the Son of God would be the least likely to be dishonored or unable to do anything. Give us what we want. We will even be satisfied with shallow transactional faith. But it is our faith that heals and saves us. Our faith. So how could this have looked differently? If we had been more open to seeing something new in a person who stands before us rather than what he can do for us, it might have made a difference. Living a faith that has been so familiar, we could be open to being surprised more and put less emphasis on our own satisfaction. We don't know what we don't know, but it doesn't mean that in humility we can't know more. It's the same way in which we approach each other. The openness to dialogue without prejudging the other is the only way to prevent all the divisions we have in our churches and in our world and even in our families. For centuries, the church didn't talk about dialogue. Not until the Second Vatican Council. It had always been a monologue before that. The church was just talking. Jesus, in his words, has come to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to declare a year of favor. It's never been heard before, except in the prophet Isaiah, when he speaks about these people who are us. We're the ones who are blind, limited, alienated, unable to fully be the people God made us to be, in ways physical and spiritual. So let him help us to be free from ourselves and free to encounter each other and God in ways that are entirely new.